Now, we have looked at the exclusion. So that is the reason. Let us look at in the resale and commercial purpose. Resale and commercial purpose. Any person who obtains the good for resale or commercial purpose is not a consumer. This is the most important aspect which one must know. Now, the reason is why it does not include is because you are using it for your revenue generation. Okay, now commercial purpose, but however, will not include when the use is for self-employment. Commercial purpose does not include use by a person of goods bought and used by him and services availed by him exclusively for the purpose of earning his livelihood by means of self-employment. A person who does not buy the goods for his own consumption or use but for resale is excluded from the purview. When the goods are resold in original condition as bought, it is a resale. Now, when the manufacturer sells the goods to the wholesaler, who in turn sells the goods to a retailer, the wholesaler will be excluded from the definition of the word consumer, as what he has done is he has sold it further for commercial purpose, even if it is for his livelihood. Please understand the difference here. Okay, he has further sold it for his revenue. When the goods are not purchased for immediate final consumption but for transfer, it becomes a resale. Now, a mere transfer of good without immediate final consumption could mean purchase of goods for resale or commercial purpose. Similarly, there has to be a direct link, direct nexus between the kind of goods purchased and sold. If the goods sold are converted for producing other goods or services, it is buying the goods for commercial purpose. A person buying the good for resale or commercial purpose, even if for consideration, is not a consumer. Commercial purpose should be established. You should be able to prove it. Not buying for one's own use is not necessarily buying for commercial purpose. Okay. Now, a purchaser of a cooler is not a consumer, even if cooler is installed at a bus stand for the use of public free of charge. Goods bought and used by consumer exclusively for purpose of earning his livelihood by means of self-employment is not a commercial purpose, okay? Because he is at the end using it for himself. Now, examples. A lady purchased a photocopier for the purpose of earning her livelihood. It was held that the purchase was not for commercial purpose and she was consumer. So you will have to, if say for example, you want to file a case and you want to bring yourself within the purview of commercial, you will have to make sure that you mention that it was for earning your livelihood and demonstrate it. Okay, now let us say you are defending. So you will have to look at this aspect and show that it was not for earning the livelihood. Okay, now the court should therefore be satisfied in this scale that there is no large-scale commercial activity. Now, plying of a taxi is purchase of a taxi for commercial purpose. Now, commercial purpose is commerce, mercantile. It has profit as aim. Okay, there should be profit or loss for further disposal. Commercial purpose includes all business activities. For example, in the case of Senco Textiles Private Limited versus Greaves Cotton and Company Limited, the appellant company purchased generating sets for generating electricity in the factory and it was to be used for operating machinery in the factory for the purpose of commercial products of production of oils and oil cake. Okay, now it was held that the purchase was for commercial purpose. Okay, and therefore the appellate company was not regarded as a consumer. Now, where a person enters into a contest booking Premier Padmini car and is successful in contest, but the company refuses to give the person the reward of the contest as announced. On the complaint filed, it was held that such a person was not consumer so far as the benefit of the contest was concerned. Okay, so that he did not come within the definition of the word consumer. A purchase of a car by a company for use by its business for directors and employees is purchased for commercial purpose. Thus, even if a person buys goods for consideration and obtains such goods for any commercial purpose, then he is not a consumer. Now, examples of consumers and persons who are not consumers. So this will give you a better clarity. Instances of who is a consumer: a bank customer, subscriber of telephone, consumer of electricity, a passenger traveling by train, air, a patient receiving medical treatment, depositor of money, beneficiary of services or nominee of the insured, persons allotted plot, houses by housing boards, nominee of a person insured under LIC, employee member of employee providence scheme is a consumer, and duties performed by the regional provident fund commissioner comes under the scheme of service. Now, who is not a consumer? A person who purchased goods for resale or for commercial purpose is not a consumer. A person who buys goods or obtains services without consideration, hires or avails of any services without consideration, or uses the goods without approval of the person is not a consumer. Now, here we have written 1986, but this is also applicable for 2019. A person who is beneficiary of service without the consent of a person who has hired is not a consumer, and a person who obtains service under a contract of personal service is not a consumer. Now, the National Commission in various cases has held that the following are not consumer: a client hiring services of an advocate, a student hiring services of a private tutor, purchaser of a taxi, tenant, person presenting documents for registration, government service, charitable trust running diagnostic centers, tenant of a landlord, taxpayers of municipality, contractors, applicants, etc. are not applicants for job, like for example, Naukri. You are not consumer. Now, consumer dispute. Now, we have understood who is a consumer and who is not a consumer extensively. Now, let us understand what is the dispute, because we are here not just to understand the consumer, but how the dispute system comes in. Now, a dispute means a dispute where the person against whom a complaint has been made denies or disputes the allegation contained in the complaint. Okay. Now, separate allegation may form separate disputes requiring separate findings. As per the new Act of 2019, Consumer Act, which comes under Consumer Dispute, which comes under Section 8, it means a dispute where the person against whom a complaint has been made denies or disputes the allegation. Consumer rights, as defined under Section 9. It includes the right to be, the way we earlier in the beginning slides have discussed, the right to be protected against marketing of goods, products or services which are hazardous to life and property, the right to be informed about what information about the quality, quantity, potency, purity, standard and price of goods, products, services. Okay, why? Because that is the reason why I am buying that product. If that is not protected, then it will come under the purview of an unfair trade practice. The right to be assured, wherever possible, access to a variety of goods, products or services at a competitive price. The right to be heard and be assured that consumers' interest will receive due consideration at appropriate fora. The right to seek redressal against unfair trade practice and restrictive trade practice or unscrupulous exploitation of consumers. Now, please understand, these three terms are different, distinct. Unfair trade practice is where I represent something but give something else. That is unfair trade practice. Restrictive trade practice is different, where it is monopolistic. And where there is exploitation of consumers will come under exploitation of consumers. The right of consumer for awareness. Because of this act, there are also consumer awareness week. So on the radio, television, etc., you would keep hearing about this awareness. Most important, again, defect. What does defect mean? Defect means any fault, imperfection or shortcoming in what? In the quality, quantity, potency, purity of standard which is required to be maintained by or under any law for the time being in force. For example, the Weights and Measures Act, right? Under that, you are required to give whatever the exact amount that you are depicting. So that is under any particular act, okay, or has been undertaken to be performed by a person in pursuance of a contract or otherwise in relation to any service or under any contract, express or implied. What is express? Where something is in writing, okay, it is an expression. Implied is something which comes innate along with it. So when I am giving you a product, it is implied that the quality would be good, okay, or as has been claimed by the trader in any manner whatsoever in relation to any goods or products, and the expression defective shall be construed accordingly. All right, so the long and short, it should be exactly as the promise. So contravention to of any provisions of enactment such as Drugs and Cosmetics Act, Standard Weights and Measures, Preventions of Food Adulteration, these all, etc., or rules framed within that will come within the in relation to the goods would be termed as defect. Now there are three types of defects which comes in a product. Let's deal with the first, which is a manufacturing defect. Earlier I have given you example where I buy a product and within the second or third day it stops functioning. So there could be a manufacturing defect. A product is said to be to have manufacturing defect when it is not built according to the specification and is consequently unsafe. For example, there may be negligence on the part of the employee in assembling a part or tightening a nut, or latent defect, which is a hidden flaw. In the beginning I can't see it, but it comes up later in the raw material out of which the product is made. Design defect. The design is something, but you are given something. I am not sure how many of you must have paid attention. There is always a disclaimer that the color may differ. The reason being why? Because I am told a particular color, but when the color comes to me, the color is different. Why? Because when I'm taking the photograph, I'll be able to enhance the photograph due to effects, right? So it may differ. If I do not give that kind of a disclaimer, then it is what? A misrepresentation, and comes within the purview of Consumer Protection Act, okay? So design effect, defects, it appears there is no clear standard with reference to standards prescribed by government or industry, if any, but courts may liberally interpret the provision because there is nothing which has been given, but I'll have to explain, okay, from the angle of reasonable care in designing or product. Now several high courts have held that a product is defectively designed if the product is more dangerous than the benefits that accrue on account of the product designed in the eyes of an ordinary consumer. For instance, now under Indian conditions, if a moped manufacturer does not provide a sari guard to protect against the possibility of an average woman meeting an accident when the loose end of her sari comes into contact with the running vehicle, it may be considered as design defect. I differ this with this. Now the next is instruction defect. Your product comes with an instruction leaflet, but the instruction is not given correctly. That is an instruction defect. When a manufacturer fails to provide adequate warning of possible dangers associated with the product in product manual, instruction booklet, or on package or label regarding safe use of the product, right? A drug manufacturer is expected to warn against the side effects. It's compulsory. Today, if you go, just check, or maybe you can go on Tata MG or such websites where you know they give information of medicine. The side effects are always given. Now, please remember, it is not a valid defense to argue that the manufacturer was not aware of the danger. It is the duty of the manufacturer to inform and be aware. Now let us look at the types of evidence which generally are relied upon by the complainants to establish defect in product. Expert opinion. I am not an expert. How do I know that there is a manufacturing defect? The members on the dais of the commission may not be an expert. So I will bring in an expert. I will bring in a technical expert who will come and testify, who will give me a written opinion as to how that product is defective. So what complainant hires a technical expert to testify about the defective characteristics. Okay, now a manufacturer has to retain highly qualified experts to rebut these findings and also educate the, if for example if you have hired a lawyer, okay, you have to educate your lawyer about how the system works so that the complainant's expert's bluff can be given. You have to come up with these. So expert opinion plays a very, very important role. Manufacturer's record. Now, manufacturers are required under the Act to maintain certain records. The complainant can call upon for those records. Okay. Now, when manufacturer's own employees express concern about the safety, that becomes a persuasive issue, you know, argument for product defect. Then government and industry standards. The way I have said that there are certain industry standards that have been provided for. If you do not meet those industry standards, then automatically the finding of negligence comes in against you and in favor of the consumer. Post-accident changes. Now, post-accident changes may be considered as evidence, okay, as opposed to the original design, saying that it was deficient. Now, this is a contentious factor which will be looked whether the evidence is admissible or not, but report of government, the past record, etc., comes in handy. Now, who is liable to pay compensation? The liability extends from the manufacturer to the retailer. Okay, it is a chain of distribution to everyone who is in this picture, who gives the promise about a certain product would be liable. Even an occasional seller may be held liable for his own negligence to the extent he should have known or discovered that the product was dangerous. Even influencers now are liable. If I am going to say that I have used it, it's go ahead and use it, it's the best. I can also be held liable as an influencer. Now, in most states of United States, there is something that is called a strict liability, which applies to the manufacturers. So this was all about defect. Now let us come in deficiency. Deficiency mostly comes in terms of the services. Let us look at definition. What does deficiency mean? Deficiency means fault, imperfection, shortcoming, or inadequacy in terms of quality, nature, and manner of performance which is required to be maintained. It can be it can be either innate, which is expected. Why innate? Because you have promised, or it can be something which has been given under the law. Okay, so and if it is defined in your contract, the way I said, if you are representing something that and you do not provide it, it comes under the purview of deficiency. Now, for example, of deficiency, the lack of facilities. The developer says, I have this and that in the clubhouse, and he fails to provide the clubhouse. It will come under deficiency. Not allotting the shares despite taking the money, deficiency. Now, in Commissioner Office of Telecom versus Bihar State Warehousing in 1991, it was held that illegal shifting of the telephone amounts to deficiency. Now, illegal disconnection also amounts to deficiency. So, if you are supposed to give me a perfect service, if I do not give that service, it will come within deficiency. A dealer fails to deliver within a time period, he'll be responsible for deficiency. Now, negligence and deficiency of service on account of flight not taking off within reasonable time of the schedule may be held as negligence and deficiency of service. Now, why I say maybe? If there is a force majeure is what? There is a fire on the runway or heavy rain, the weather has changed, the climate has changed, then it may not come within the purview of deficiency. All right. Failure of insurance company to settle the claim without sufficient cause. Now, there are many a times, one of the cases that now I am handling is where my client's son passed away, and the insurance, medical insurance company, has refuted the claim, saying that you did not inform that there was speech defect. The child has passed away due to cancer and the after effect of the infection. Now, cancer and speech defect has nothing to do with it. So we have filed a claim, a consumer, and it's still sub judice. So this comes under deficiency. It's not a sufficient cause, right? Failure of railways to provide cushioned seats in first class, deficiency. Delay in installation of telephone bill, inflated telephone bills, or the meter is not correct, deficiency. Where ornaments and lockers are missing due to negligence of bank, deficiency. Failure of bank to credit the amount, deficiency. If there is sufficient funds, and despite of that the bank has dishonored the check, deficiency. Okay, I told bank to stop the payment, but the bank failed to follow the instructions, deficiency. Where there is delay or in making the payment or the bank guarantee, deficiency. Excessive price. Now what is it? It is for the complainant in this, where when he alleges excessive price, okay, for deficiency, it is for the complainant to establish. Now the general principle of evidence is whoever asserts has to prove. And the minute he proves, the burden will shift to the person who is saying no. But whoever is asserting, affirming, giving a positive statement has to prove. So I am saying that this is excessive price. It is for me to prove it first. So it is for the complainant likewise to establish that the trader has charged for goods more than what it is fixed under the law, or displayed on the good, or displayed on any package. This is a very important reason why you should always save and keep your invoices. Now you have those printing where the printing fades. So take a photocopy, or where you have e-invoices nowadays. They don't print the invoice but send you by email or your WhatsApp. So keep that, save that. Otherwise you will not be able to prove as to that there has been excess. Okay, so a trader therefore be charged for having collected excess price then displayed. Hazardous goods. In respect of goods which are hazardous to life and safety, traders have to display such information. Okay, so it's always very prudent to keep take a photograph or some proof or evidence of all the instructions that have been given, of how the packaging looks, so that you are able to show, prove your case. Now, what is the meaning of goods? Goods means goods as defined in Sales of Goods Act 1930. And now goods, the Sales of Goods Act defines, it means every kind of movable property other than actionable claims and money, and includes stock and shares, growing crops, grass and things attached to or forming part of the land, which are agreed to be severed before the sale or under contract of sale. So the crop which is attached but before giving, it will be severed. Therefore, most consumer products would come under the purview of this definition, because we purchase a lot of movable, right? Manufacturer, we have already dealt with this. It means a person who makes or manufactures any goods or parts thereof, or does not make or manufacture but assembles, or puts or cause to put his own mark but does not manufacture himself. Service. Service would mean service of any description which is made available to potential users and includes the provisions of facilities in connection with banking, finance, insurance, transport, processing, supply of electrical, etc. Now it includes provision of facility in connection with telephone provided by telecom department of and houses and plots by housing development. Now please remember, the definition of service is inclusive. So this is an example, right? Free service, what is excluded from services? Free service and personal service, which we have already included. Okay, so complaints again, government hospital will not be entertained under this act because it is mostly free or subsidized, right? But if you go to, let's say, a hospital like Apollo or maybe Leelavati or Jaslok, these hospitals will be covered under the Consumer Protection Act, right? Now, spurious goods and services. This means goods and services which are claimed to be genuine, but they actually are not so. Okay, now the provisions of this act relating to adjudication of consumer disputes and award of reliefs under section 14 fully applies to disputes which concerns deficiency of service rendered by hospitals and members of medical profession also, the way I gave you an example. Contract of personal service. A service under a contract of personal service will not come within the purview of service. Okay, so a service offered by an advocate to his client, it will not come under personal service. A client hiring the service of advocate is not, he doesn't come under the purview of consumer. When you hire a private tutor will not come under the purview of a personal service. Now, contract of service and contract for service. Let us distinguish the term of and for. Okay, the contract of service implies what? It implies relationship of a master and servant. A servant is obliged to obey the order. Okay, there is a contract of service. When I am a full-time employee, so it is a contract of service. But what is a contract for service? Where I pay consideration. Now, for service is what? Where the person engages the service of another person and where he can order. Okay, so for example, where I am taking a service provider for internet, telephone, or your car service. All these comes under contract for service. Understood? So this is the distinction. So contract of service will not come under the provision of Consumer Act, but what will come under the provision is contract for service. The transport facilities will come under for service. Settlement of insurance, your housing development, your house will come under that. Banking service is expressly included in the word service. Okay. However, if there is a failure to render service which is beyond the control of the bank, okay, so RBI comes with a particular notification and bank has to adhere with it. Bank cannot go beyond that word. So it will not come within the expression of deficiency of service. Student who pays the tuition fees and hires service of an institution acquires the rights of a consumer. But let's say if it's a private tutor, he will not come. Now, what are held to be services? Let us look at the examples. Services rendered by Housing and Development Board, services rendered by agency, services by post and telegraph, services rendered by insurance company, banking and financial institutions, transport agencies like bus, rail, your Vichare, your Mahavir, Blue Dart, DHL, etc. Processing of services, supply of electricity, hotel lodging and boarding services, entertainment, amusement, cinema houses, etc. Services rendered by hospital will come, but again, please remember these hospitals should be private hospitals. Okay, government hospitals will not come into purview. Supply of food on board, if it is paid, okay, your cushioned seat, those services, these all are services. For government, semi-government body, local authority who are required to give or are amenable as a private service, they will come under service. Now, services rendered by medical practitioners, individual clinics, they will come under services because hospital is responsible for the act of its staff. So, hospitals will come within the purview. Common carrier of transportation. Service given even by public authorities, like for example, postmasters, railways, etc., will come within the purview. Now, let us look at what will not come within the service. Very, very important. As I told you, medical treatment provided by government, medical treatment provided by trust, services given by a municipal corporation, services given by a private tutor, services given by advocates, which is in form of gratuitous, you know, that will not come. So where consideration is not paid, it's a free service. Okay, non-allotment of shares, not for consideration. If there is a consideration, obviously, but then you have to go under the Companies Act. claim which will come as to how to go about it. Claim for compensation which arises out of motor accident where, you know, it is for hired services. It will not come. Service rendered by employee for his employer will not come. Rendering of service by medical practitioner free of charge will not come. Now let us understand what is complaint. We have spoken about consumer, we have spoken about what is defect, etc., etc. But let us now combine all this and understand where complaint comes into the picture. Okay, complaint means what? In general parlance, complaint means I am giving you, informing you of the allegation. Okay, but here it can be verbal. Now in regular this, you go to your HR, you go to your office, you go anywhere, it will, you verbally speak about it. But when I'm talking here right now, the complaint will be in writing. Okay, so complaint means any allegation that is made in writing by complainant. Who is a complainant? The one who is complaining with a view to obtain relief. It should be with an intent that I want relief under the act. That as a result of any, and where and how does it come? It should be a resultant, the complaint should be resultant of an unfair trade practice, restrictive trade practice which is adopted by trader, or where complainant has suffered because of that. Now it is done. Okay, there is an unfair trade practice that has happened. So do you go ahead and file complaint? That is not sufficient. What is important? That because of that unfair trade practice, you have suffered loss or damage. Okay, or the goods that have been given, the goods suffer from defects, which we have already dealt with, or the services that has been given, it suffers from deficiency. Now a trader has charged excess amount for the product being given, has not given the product as per its measurement. Okay, the goods are hazardous or likely to cause, it's not safe to be used. These all come under the purview of complaint. Now who can make a complaint? A complaint can be made by the consumer to whom such goods or services were being delivered, any recognized consumers association. So in one of the case, if you remember, it was mentioned in the case of Mumbai Grahak Panchayat. Now this Mumbai Grahak Panchayat is an association who goes ahead and represents consumers. Okay, and they are the recognized consumer association, not just any random, it has to be a recognized consumer association. The central or the state government and one or many consumers on behalf. So where there is representation, a representative case. So I am representing two or three consumers come together. So for example, in case of a builder, if the builder defaults, not just one, but an association of that, the purchasers of that particular builder flats will come and file a complaint. If there is death of the customer, so for example, in medical negligence cases, okay, in medical negligence cases, obviously the patient has died. For example, if the patient has died in the case, then his heirs or representative can be a consumer. They can file. Now, there was a 2002 amendment to Section 12. What it provides? Every complaint should be accompanied with such amount of fee as prescribed, which is a very nominal fee. On receipt of a complaint, the district forum, now the commission, may by order allow the complaint to be proceeded with or rejected. So when I file a complaint, the notice is not issued immediately. When I file a complaint, a date is given when I have to go and tell them that how I am a consumer and how the product or the service comes within the definition of deficiency of service or unfair trade practice. Okay. Now, however, please note that a complaint will not be rejected unless an opportunity is been given to be heard. So I should be heard, and admissibility of the complaint shall be ordinarily decided within 21 days from the date when it was filed. Now, where a complaint is allowed to be proceeded, okay, where a notice is issued to The forum may proceed with the complaint in the manner as provided in the Act. Further, where a complaint has been admitted, it shall not be transferred to any other court or tribunal or authority set up by any other law for the time being in force. Now, class complaints. The Amendment Act of 1993, which also continues in 19, talks about class complaints. It permits the representative complaints. For example, the way I gave you example just two slides back, where let's say there is a builder who goes defunct and he defaults, you know, and there is a defect in the building, or maybe OC is not. So not it is not necessary that individually everyone goes. What the purchasers can do is they can form their association and go ahead and represent the case for all. So otherwise what will happen? There would be 100 cases. So instead of 100 cases, the association goes ahead and does a class representation for these 100 cases. That's the reason the word comes class complaints or class representations. Okay, so one or more members form a group and go ahead and file for the common cause. Now, it can be for what? It can be for unfair trade practice, restrictive trade practice, or the goods bought were suffer from defects. You know, flats have defect, or the hired services have deficiencies. Now, a complaint that a trader has charged more for the good in excess, or it is in contravention it is hazardous and against the safety. Now, to whom it is to be made?